sure, that worked. Man, we should probably have an intro or something, huh?
I mean, maybe. Maybe an intro would work, but also I think we are charmingly fumbling, so that can work as an intro.
Well, yeah, this can be our cold open, you know, because yes. Now there's no artifice, now that I've observed that openly. It's fine. So.
But anyway, should we introduce ourselves?
Yes, definitely. We should also probably say the name of the show.
Okay, I think we are Failed Taxonomy.
Yep, last time I checked.
And,
Oh, we're good at this.
Oh, gosh.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Katie.
And we have now set the bar for the rest of the show.
Luckily, Ian is editing this one.
Yay.
Okay. So what's our show about, Ian?
Well, generally, it's going to be sharing what we've been up to the past 2 weeks. Of course, this time, we could theoretically share what we've been up to since the moment we came into existence, but that's probably a bad idea.
That would be a very long show, I have a feeling.
But then we can unpack all my childhood traumas.
I mean, I feel like that's just queer culture as it is anyways. Friendship and sharing trauma and...
Yeah, that sounds exactly right.
That's every first date I've ever been on.
You're too right, though. That's the problem. But besides all that, we'll be sharing stuff about writing, reading, exercising, and
trying to be better people.
Yeah. And also playing video games and answering random questions because...
For fun.
Yeah. Video games might be part of self-improvement. Yes.
I think, yes.
Everyone please back our non-existent Patreon.
Thank you to all our non-existent sponsors, all our Patreon backers that don't exist, and that super successful Kickstarter I had a dream about once.
Sweet. And we could probably also do general life updates as a miscellaneous category, which I guess means we fail taxonomy. Anyway, there, I shoehorned it in. Everything's perfect now.
Nice. Awesome. So that's our intro. I hope you all loved it.
As you should. If you don't, go back and listen to it again and try harder.
Try harder. Okay, so now we're going to talk about reading because that's the most fun.
Yay, reading.
So, you know, we're really good at segues. Ian, what have you been reading lately?
I'm in the middle of a lot of stuff right now, and I don't know how I feel about that because I've been in the middle of them for like 2 months at this point.
Oh, God, my life.
Yeah, I'm like a couple chapters into Left Hand of Darkness, which I'm enjoying, but keep forgetting to pick back up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading a book on open relationships called Opening Up, which is both really interesting, and its examples that the author pulled are full of people that I consider to be, at least at some point in the past they're discussing, terrible human beings.
Oh, no.
It's...
Can you throw an example out there, or should we not call out people on this podcast?
Well, I don't... Their names were all pseudonyms, but it was just like...
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, I really felt the need to be a dom all the time, and my wife wasn't into that, so I cheated on her, and that went badly, and so now I'm exploring polyamory, or open relationships, or whatever, and...
Boo, yeah, that is not how you do it!
It was upsetting, and part of me is just like, you know, if more of these people were queer, this wouldn't have happened.
That's how I feel about Talk most about things feelings. In life. Oh, gosh. Open communication. What is that?
Yeah, who knows if that's true, but there's definitely lots of, like, the cishets. This isn't great.
You're trying so hard, and yet you're not trying at all.
Yeah, I think it might be the whole, like, dominant narrative thing, and they're coming from that perspective, whereas we're like, how do life, what are?
What are? Well, I think it's just the fact that we, you know, like, as queer people, we have to build what our relationships look like from the bottom up, and so we get to start, like, it's harder, but we also get even more choice in the matter. Like, we just get to go, like, well, I don't like what they're doing over there, but I don't have to do that. My relationship can look different, and therefore I want to talk to people. Weird.
Yeah. Getting life advice, it's cool. And I guess besides that book, the last thing I'm reading is, so I forget the title completely, John Scalzi's essay collection. That's right, Don't Live for Your Obituary, which is the most recent one and is a huge pile of blog posts. And it's been really interesting so far. I don't know. I really like Scalzi. I realize not everyone really likes Scalzi. I'm like, ooh, his opinions, but they're all fresh to me, so... I don't actually follow him anywhere. I just read his books. What have you been reading lately?
I've been mostly reading stuff that I technically can't talk about because I'm reviewing it. But I did just read the newest Anne Leckie book, Provenance.
Is that part of the same series as Ancillary Justice, or is it a different series?
No, it's like the same universe. It's a standalone novel, though, so supposedly you don't have to read the original trilogy before you read this one. I think it adds a lot to it if you have, but I could see going into this one just kind of cold. But I really liked it. It's more of like a coming-of-age novel than like a military, like epic battle space opera kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice. Did you read it?
I haven't read them yet. One of my friends loves them. A lot of my friends love them, apparently, and they're kind of on my long list, but I keep... I'm not sure if there's an audiobook of the first one.
I don't know.
And whenever...
I feel like there should be.
And whenever I try to get it from the library, it's, you know, checked out to hell and back, which is understandable, but...
Yeah. Understandable, yeah, but... I feel like you should. I feel like you would like them. It took me a while to get into them, too. I had a friend in grad school. Hi, Stephanie, if you ever listen to this. But she was like, you have to read them. It's about robots and lesbians. And I was like, okay, that sounds totally cool. And it's definitely a really fun read. It's hard to get used to the main character at first because she's like... She has all these emotions that she doesn't acknowledge directly that you just sort of have to infer from the text itself. But it's kind of adorable, too, because she's like, I don't know why whenever I see this person, I flush red in the face and my heart palpitates a little bit. And you're like, you love her. Now kiss her.
Yeah, that's a good book. I like that.
Yeah.
And if you're really lucky, the people you want to kiss, kiss. And if you're really unlucky, it's a really boring romance subplot with someone else.
Yeah, this one is kind of like middle ground, where they cuddle a lot, and you're like, okay, cool, cool.
Hey man, cuddlers need representation too.
It's true, absolutely. We need more cuddlers in fiction. More queer cuddling, please.
That should be the next anthology that someone does.
Oh, yes.
There's got to be a better title than Queer Cuddles, though.
I mean, does there?
Maybe. Maybe not. I want to do something with cuttlefish. I feel like there's something there, but I don't know what it is.
Ooh. I don't know. Someone listening, come up with a really good title, and then we'll both write stories for it.
And that listener will also edit it, do all the promotion, raise the money, pay us.
Yeah. I don't want to do any of the work. I just kind of want to write the story or just kind of read that anthology. Either way, please make that happen.
There is going to be an asexual romance anthology coming out from Circlip Press sometime in the future. It's still accepting submissions, so.
But that is definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, and the editor's a cool person, so.
Awesome.
Who shall not be named. Because they use a pseudonym.
And that's only fair. Pseudonyms. Yes, yes. Well, that would have been a really good segue into our fourth segment of writing, but our second segment seems to be exercising.
It is. So I guess I wanted us to kind of outline like what we're going for, because depending on what you want, certain things are successes or failures in ways they might not be otherwise. So what are your goals with exercise right now, these days?
I guess my goals are just to, like, mainly to move more and to make moving easier. So I guess strength. But just, like, you know, if I can walk upstairs without getting, like, super winded or, like... Okay, so for example, I was just at the Grand Canyon. And walking down the Grand Canyon is super, super easy. We walked about 2 miles into the Grand Canyon. And then walking the 2 miles out of the Grand Canyon is a little less easy.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. You'd think like going uphill of a giant hole in the ground would be super easy, right?
Yeah. Not so much.
Not so much. I got out of the hole in the ground, so that is a plus.
That's always good.
Yeah. But like if that was just easier, I think that would be cool. Also, I want to do a pull-up. I really want to be able to do a pull-up.
So, live the dream. You
know, basic goals.
Are you going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps?
By my bootstraps. Ooh, that sounds kinkier than what I was thinking. But.
Fair enough.
We can do both.
Yeah.
What are your goals?
Nebulous and undefined, but that's not a real answer. I'm mostly just trying to get stronger right now. I guess build more muscle. Over the last like year or so, I gained a lot of weight, and I'm not super upset about that, but I definitely like more of it to be muscle because society. And also being strong is nice.
Society. Being strong does sound pretty nice. Yeah, I'm also at, I think, my highest weight that I've ever been. And I'm not like super sad about it, but it is like, oh, I can tell that people look at me funny and people at work are sometimes like, hey, I'm on this diet and you should try it. And it's like, I've never said that I want to lose weight. So no, but thanks.
We can just look at it a different way. We did it. We got to our highest weights ever. This is an accomplishment.
Hell yeah. We've peaked, right? Yeah, that's what that means.
It's perfect. I'm going to say, I think my biggest issue was that I finally, like, had functional gut flora again and could eat things I wanted to eat. And that was awesome, but also made it so I wasn't automatically dieting all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like it should be a pretty big advantage that you can eat whatever you want to eat. And then society's like, but no, you should be on a permanent diet.
But cookies is my entire counter-argument to that.
But cookies. Oh my gosh. So, you're on like the West Coast. Have you ever eaten Takis?
No.
They are this like delicious kind of tortilla chip that's rolled up into like a little tube and dusted with like spice and lime. And they're so good. I guess they might be a Mexican snack or something. My friend who lives in Arizona bought me a bag and I ate all of them and they're so good.
I'll have to try to find them. That sounds good.
But anyway, I guess this shouldn't be a celebration of food, but you know what? Fuck it. It's a celebration of food and exercising.
Yep. And other goals include getting more flexible, which would require me to be consistent with my yoga, but we'll get to that in a second. And at some point I should start running again. It got cold and wet and dark, because I apparently live in the farthest north city, major city in the continental United States. We're further north than Maine.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's weird. And I run in the mornings, and there's only... I got lazy and also didn't want to run in the dark at, you know, 5:30 a.m. in the woods in the cold. So...
I mean, I think that's pretty fair, though.
Yeah. Next year, I'll have to make sure I get, like, an exercise bike or something.
Yeah. I would love to, like, find a place that I could consistently swim at, but I think, like, the nearest pool is still, like, a half hour away in the opposite direction of my work, so it's not very convenient.
Have you considered doing a Shape of Water thing, just rolling up a towel, seam at your door, and just flood your bathroom?
You know, I hadn't. I will have to think on that one.
Okay. Let me know how it works out.
I feel like that might violate my lease somehow in, like, probably a couple different ways.
I mean, maybe. But how will you know unless you try? By reading your lease? Who does that? Yeah, I'm interested in swimming, but Seattle's public pools, like, there's a public pool in my neighborhood, but it's one of the two outdoor pools in the entire city. So it's closed, like, half the year because it's cold. Right. And the indoor pools are open all year, but because they need to be everything to everyone, they operate on this bonkers schedule where it's like, and this 45 minutes is for lap swimming, and then there's 15 minutes, and this 45 minutes is for, like, the senior city aerobic class, and this 45 minutes or an hour is for, like, free play, and so I'd have to make sure I can get there, like, exactly at the right time.
I would not be good at that, so yes, that sounds really wild to try and do.
I might be able to do it. I live close enough to a pedestrian bridge into the next neighborhood over that I could theoretically do it in the morning there, but I'm also self-conscious. And also, you do have to pay. And I would just swim in the Sound, except the part of the Sound I live in, live near. There was a bunch of rain this last year, and the sewage treatment plant near me, its backfill overflowed. No. And so they're like, maybe don't swim here until we test the water again.
Oh gosh. Yeah, no, don't go swimming in poop, Ian. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and a lot of other places in Seattle, you're probably going swimming in, like, gasoline fumes, so.
Oh.
That's the problem with being a trade port. It's not exactly all picturesque, clear ocean water. Also, it's the Pacific, so it's just freezing anyway.
Yeah, fair. Well, I mean, the Atlantic is never, like, once you hit the Cape and start going north, it doesn't get warm. You can, like, last year we went on vacation in Maine, and it was, like, August, and I was in the ocean for all of, like, 10 minutes, and I came out, and I was like, I'm very blue now.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess if you want to be an alien, you can go swimming.
As a kid, one of my parents definitely pulled me out of the water. They're like, your lips are blue. We are leaving this water now.
Oh, but, like, as a kid, you don't care. You're just, I want to swim forever. I went swimming in a hurricane once, and my mom was like, we pretty much just didn't pull you out because we couldn't get into the water to get you.
That seems like a bad plan on childhood youth's part.
I didn't say I was a smart child. Just that I was alive.
I think that's all most of us manage to... I think that's the level most of us are at throughout childhood. It's like, we lived because we're here, and we all did a bunch of stupid junk.
Yep.
But
it's fun.
So, in light of your exercise goals, how has it gone the last little while?
Well, last week was actually pretty good because I did about 2 4-mile hikes in a row, and then it was mostly just, like, a lot of walking, but I got to move more because I was on vacation. There was no real strength training in that, though, so I don't know if I got stronger. I did shoot a gun, and my bicep hurt the next day. And that was sort of a wild experience. I had never shot a gun before, and my shoulder got really bruised and my bicep hurt, and it wasn't what I expected to happen, but
couldn't say. I take it you were shooting a shotgun or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done that like once. It's okay.
Yeah. That was basically my thought was, this was all right. I guess my friends really wanted to do it, and Joel likes things like that. And so I was just like, well, I guess I'll go and do this thing.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I did it as part of Boy Scouts, so.
Oh, Boy Scouts. I always wanted to be a Boy Scout.
I want to make a joke about how you weren't missing much, but I kind of have like a really mixed emotional reaction to having been in Boy Scouts. I had a bunch of really good times, but the national organization has historically been a complete piece of shit. So,
yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I guess Girl Scouts are slightly better than the Boy Scouts are, but I think it's just all mixed up in... I think large organized groups of people just always kind of make things shitty anyway.
Yeah. That's why we should have anarchist scouts.
Exactly. Yeah.
There are no meetings. They're a tool of oppression. Clearly, I understand what anarchy actually means in an applied political context. I do not understand this. Listeners cannot see the epic side-eye guilt I gave myself.
It was a pretty epic side-eye guilt. Please write in and tell us about anarchy.
Yes, I have a zine I bought out of like a used bookstore somewhere that's an anarchist zine, but I haven't read it yet.
Well, clearly you have to read that and come back next week and tell us all about it.
Oh, good. As far as my exercise stuff, I lifted 2 whole times last week, and I walked around the park a bunch yesterday because I was picking up my boyfriend from there, and he's like, I'm sitting here, and I'm just like, I think this is the nearest parking lot, and I was right, but that doesn't mean it was close.
Just because it was the nearest one doesn't mean it was near at all.
And I mean, I probably only walked for like, I don't know, half a mile total, but because I have a car, I end up using it a lot, and so... Mm-hmm. I don't get as much walking in as I would otherwise.
That's fair.
Doesn't help that the buses from my neighborhood do not go to my co-working space in any sort of direct route, so...
Oh no, like, that's not fun.
Like, Peter and I could bus, except the bus to his work takes, like, over an hour. The bus to where I used to work was actually the same bus and took an hour and a half. Where I work now, I don't know, but it would probably be similarly long and painful, so...
Yeah, that's too long. I have coworkers who drive an hour to get to work, and I don't know how you people, like, why? That's just too much for me.
Yeah, I definitely ran into some things where, like, I've been looking at jobs, and there's lots of jobs on the east side, which are across 2 whole bridges, both of which get slammed during rush hour.
Of course.
And so it's like, I don't want to commute, because nothing is worse about living in a city than getting 2 miles in, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I should not be able to outwalk my car, and yet that happens a lot here.
Yeah, I love pulling things up on Google Maps, and it's like, 3 miles, 20 minutes, and you're like, no, please no, please, I just want to get there. It's so close.
I used to get really grumpy about, like... One of my really good friends, Joe, lives in Capitol Hill. We'd go and meet in Capitol Hill, and that part's wonderful, but I'd get stuck in part of Seattle, not affectionately called the Mercer Mess, where there's just...
Oh, gosh.
It's the north end of South Lake Union, which is where Amazon's headquarters are, so there's way too many people in cars pretty much all the time along that stretch. And so it would take me like 45 minutes to get, you know, the 2.5 miles from... Granted, probably at a straight line, but the 2.5 miles from my place to the place we were meeting up.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Well, Boston is like that, except it's all one-way streets and we're not on a grid.
So... Yeah, I've heard Boston's the worst.
It's horrible. Like, I'm starting to get used to it, which I'm sort of sad and proud of myself about. But as we were flying out west to Arizona, looking down and seeing just... cities in squares and roads that make sense, it just made me so jealous. You West Coast people really have it easy. We fucked up.
going to say it probably helps that at least where I grew up, it was all farmland for a long time. So just kind of build stuff parallel to the roads on the edge of the fields and call it good.
Yep. Yeah, we're all cow paths and through the swamp out here.
I would ask why anyone built on a swamp, but they built LA on a desert, so I think people just build things in bad places.
Yeah, I think it's just, oh, well, I'm here. Clearly, I should start building.
This seems fine. Look at all this water. We'll never use up all this water.
False.
Gonna say, narrator, they used up all that water. And now Southern California steals water from Colorado.
Yes.
And it's bad. Or the Columbia River. We might be stealing it from Nevada. We steal it from a lot of people.
I think you steal it from a lot of people.
I'm going to say, apparently, we get to pump Arizona's... it up over mountains.
Ooh. I guess Arizona stole a bunch of water from California. Or just, like, negotiated better than California. But I was surprised at how very little water conservation happens in the desert of Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Phoenix, but apparently Las Vegas is just, like... Look at all our fountains and pools.
Yep. Check out this cool golf course we have in the desert. Wait, why?
But yeah, so working out. That was all highly relevant to working out.
Yes.
Although
we didn't get distracted at all.
If you ever want to read a lot about water conservation in California, I believe, read the book Cadillac Desert, although it's probably a couple decades out of date at this point.
Okay.
Or just, you know, call my dad and listen to him slowly get sadder and sadder.
Oh no.
He works with an endangered fish species that gets to compete for the river water with all the farmers, and water rights in California are completely insane. So
oh my gosh. That I would imagine he gets sad a lot.
It's stressful. But he gets to retire soon, so it'll be someone else's problem.
Yay.
Anyway, but yes, exercising. I lifted weights. I walked a bit. I did nothing else. I felt kind of bad about it. I did switch weightlifting programs to a new program that instead of taking an hour and a half, takes 45 minutes, which is so much more manageable.
That's
it
better.
It confuses me by not doing squats every day, but or every session, but that's probably a good thing.
I guess it's probably a good thing, but how will you get that amazing butt, Ian?
Hey, my butt is popping already. Thank you very much.
Fair enough.
I'm going to say, I figure it's good because it was starting to get to the point where I was lifting enough weight with squats that it's like, and now I'm sore the entire next day, so longer recovery is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think recovery is important because you don't want to tear your muscles too bad. You just want to tear them enough that they get bigger.
Yes. Gonna say I've also been kind of happy I didn't pile on running right away, because I've definitely done the thing where it's like I'm lifting weights, I'm running, I'm doing this, you know, 4 to 6 days a week for a month, and weird, why did I get sick?
Why does everything hurt and I just feel generally awful?
Gonna say I would actually catch colds and stuff.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's I think running in the morning is definitely kind of a if you're not ready for it, your immune system's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this thing?
Why are you awake and why are we outside? No, don't do this.
It's so cold.
Yeah, I've tried running a total of 3 times, meaning I've gone running 3 times in my life. And it's not fun and I don't want to do it. I'm not a runner.
Yeah, I have an issue. I don't know if I'd still have this, but I've had various stomach issues for a long time. And so when I would run about half the time for the first 10 minutes, like you tend to feel kind of weird anyway because your body's adjusting to doing a bunch more work than it just was. But I would also get kind of nauseous. And so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like... It was low level, but it was definitely enough to make running not fun.
Yeah.
So I think it might be good if I tried something else. Because I kind of like running, but I don't like running enough to overcome my trepidation at that first 10 minutes of, like, acclimation. And so I think I'd rather do something where getting into the zone will presumably still suck, but but is sucking in a different way.
Sometimes that's all you can ask for, is sucking in a different way. Yeah, running is sold like certain book like series for me where they're like, oh, you just have to read 3 books or run for 3 hours and then it starts getting really good. And it's like, I ain't got the time for that shit.
Yeah, just get to the point where you know can run 5 miles at a stretch and then it's great.
Then it's great and then you love it. Well, yeah, of course I do if I can run 5 miles in a stretch, but I can run maybe a block. That's a while away.
I was going to say, now that I've said this, I will inevitably end up running again at some point this summer. Mostly because doing that again is easier than figuring out something new.
That's true. You always have your feet attached to you most of the time. Say,
I would bike, but like biking around here gets kind of boring. Or
yeah.
Or like it's very point to point, and that's great, except for the part where it's like, cool, I'm downtown. I'm also done with my workout. I'm 45 minutes away from my home. Shit.
Yeah, I was thinking about actually buying a bike and biking to work because I'm close enough that I could do it. But then I realized I would get to work and be really, really sweaty for the rest of the day, and I'm not sure how to mitigate that.
I think a lot of people just change their clothes once they get into their work, or yeah. You know, pack a towel, kind of like carry a gym bag, essentially. I know some people even will get, like, some of that dry shampoo or whatever and rub it in their hair, get all that sweat out.
I guess I could try that. I feel like a bad person because I have no idea what, like, dry shampoo really is. Is it just, like, powder you put in your hair?
Yes. I'm reasonably certain it's something along the lines of, like, cornstarch. It's an absorbent powder that, like, doesn't get super sticky when it absorbs things, so it kind of absorbs stuff and then you can like brush it out, but
okay,
that's all I know.
Okay. I don't feel as bad then.
Yeah, no, you're good. Like I first heard about dry shampoo from an episode of Heroes, so you know.
What episode of Heroes did they talk about dry shampoo?
Was the character's name Ellie Bishop? The one that Kristen Bell plays with the electric powers?
Kristen Bell? Yeah.
Yeah, she mentions offhand that as part of having these powers she can't really control, she's never been able to like take a real shower in her life.
Oh, right.
Because if she gets soaked with water, she just shocks out.
Yeah.
So, you know, not the best thing ever.
No. I feel like dry shampoo has come like into main usage a lot lately, and I still am just like, I've never even seen it. Where do you buy it?
I think I've seen it for sale somewhere, but like at the kind of fancy grocery store, drugstore thing, but
okay.
I'm sure it's around somewhere.
Yeah.
Or it's fictional and everyone has been conning us this entire time.
I mean, that's a pretty good con, honestly.
Yeah, like it's a very low maintenance con too, you know?
It's true. Just every once in a while, one human being around us will mention dry shampoo and we're like, sounds real, I guess.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. All right, so after all of that wonderful talk about exercising.
Clearly we don't even want to talk about exercising. That's how good we are at exercising.
Yes. I guess it's time for our first and possibly only break. We'll see. So, we're new at this. We have no sponsors.
No sponsors. Sponsor us, please. We're very cute.
Yes, we are adorable, and that should be enough.
Yes.
Whole ones of people listen to us. Probably.
Maybe like a dozen.
Yeah. Maybe we'll hit it big. We'll be the next Mavimbam and we can retire on our throne of money.
Oh, gosh, I hope so. That would be awesome. Because then we can just, like, talk into microphones and millions of people will care about what we have to say.
And that won't be stressful at all.
Oh, God. I just thought about that.
You're good.
Although the fan art would be pretty cool.
Yes. Fan art's always cool.
True.
I was kind of jealous of our friends who were like, the fans of my book sent me this fan art. And I was like, that's so neat. I don't know who any of these characters are because I haven't read that book yet, but it's so neat.
I know. I feel so bad. I'm like, I have all of your books on hold at the library. I have not read any of them yet.
Although the thing I was going to plug, in lieu of us not having sponsorships, is J.Y. Yang's Tensorate books.
Oh, I've heard they're very good.
Red Threads of Fortune and Black Tides of Heaven. Those may not be plural. I always forget. But either way, it's a pair of novellas. They're really good. I recommend reading Red Threads of Fortune first because it does this really cool low context world building thing, and then everything gets explained when you read the other one.
Awesome.
Like, you know enough to understand what's going on, but you get the nitty gritty details in the second book. And
okay.
I'm always a fan of kind of that old school sword and sorcery, like things only come up when it's relevant.
Yeah.
And or I read an article about low context world building once and it broke my brain. So I'm now just like, clearly this is desirable. No exposition for anyone.
I actually really would love to read that article if you still happen to know what it was.
It was from a zillion years ago and it was about Star Wars.
Okay.
Talking about how, like, in the original trilogy, the Clone Wars were mentioned. Everyone knows what it is. They don't go into it. I think it was Saladin Ahmed that wrote it, but
okay,
it's been a long time. Google may be our friend here.
I mean, I am a librarian. That should be enough context for me to find it, hopefully.
See, this is how I know I'm a librarian in training. I would try it, and then I would give up. Because it would take too long. But is there anything you want to plug?
I don't know. I didn't think about this beforehand.
This is a really good time to start a Ponzi scheme if you haven't already.
Ooh, okay. No, I'm so bad at schemes. Darn it. Oh, I can plug, I guess this is sort of like self-promo-y, but Robot Dinosaur Fiction just launched its website and it's going to be a really cool anthology that I'm super excited about. And you can go check it out at robotdinosaurfiction.com. Mark did a really good job with the website and I'm going to have a story out with them. And there's just so many other cool authors that are going to be in it that I'm really excited that I get to be a part of something that's called Robot Dinosaur Fiction, basically.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yay.
Breakdown, I guess.
Yay. Go us.
Okay, third segment. We're getting there.
Yeah. Video games!
Video games. This should be easy.
Yes.
I say, foolishly. So what have you been playing?
I actually got to try VR gaming over this week, and it was so much fun. We played Robot Rampage, I think it is, where the AIs start turning on you, and you just have to shoot them and beat them up. And it's really fun. And it's also scary because you get really into the game. I've liked it a lot. It was my favorite one that I think we did besides Keep Talking and Nobody Blows Up because the movement was really good. It didn't make me sick at all. And it was one of those games where you're in the VR set and then you take the headset off and you're like, wait, how did I end up all the way over here in this room? I don't even remember where I was.
Yeah. Cool.
So that was fun. What have you been playing, Ian? I see PUBG might be a thing.
Yes, my notes for this section are PUBG, 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 PUBG. Although, I did actually finally... There's an essay I've been wanting to write about Shadow of Mordor, which means I need to finish playing it, because I was playing it a lot. I went on a writing retreat, and like kind of the ramp up to getting ready for that writing retreat, and then... ramp down, like it broke the habit of playing it, but I'm trying to get back into it because it's a really fun game. So I played some of that yesterday for the first time in like a month. But yeah, other than that, it's been PUBG partially because I was having a tough couple days, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday-ish, and PUBG Mobile came out this week. So
oh, did it really?
Yes.
Oh yeah, you texted me about that, didn't you?
Yes. Friendship. You should play with me. We can miss together.
Now that I'm home, I get to actually like catch up on all the texts and stuff that I ignored because jet lag is a thing.
Yeah. But so I've been playing a lot of that. It's really good. It feels easier than the computer PUBG. The controls are hard, but it's easier to shoot people. That said, I have heard that those games are staffed with bots, so that are bad at
Oh.
this. So I was
Oh
like,
no.
no, I felt so powerful.
I was getting so good, and you're just telling me it's all a lie.
Because, like, I don't think I've played a game where I haven't placed in the top 20.
Oh, that's
Which is
exciting, though.
very much not the case. Like, I was like, cool, I've been playing that. I haven't played the PC version in a while. I should get into that. And I died twice in 10 minutes. Mostly because my little secluded places were not that secluded. And when you have nothing, someone with a shotgun is very scary.
Yes. Oh man, I really do want to play PUBG. I love watching, I guess this is a plug for another website, but whatever. I love watching Polygon play, and it's just Awful
Yes.
Squad. Oh my God, I love Awful Squad. It's so much fun to watch.
Well, if your computer can run it, you should get it, and then we can play in duos and get slaughtered together.
Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I know one of our other friends, Anna, said that, like, or Anya, there we go. I promise I
Okay.
have a brain, people whose names I mispronounce. Names are literally my worst thing.
It's okay, Ian. You get to edit this.
No. The authenticity. We'll be selling out. But yeah, so like, Anya wanted to play it, and but computer can't run it, and I'm just like, I have an old laptop that might be able to run it, and it's like, but also I could sell that and have rent money.
Ah, yes, the gamer dilemma. Do I want games or do I want rent?
Gonna say if I wasn't unemployed, it would be an easier decision. But
Ah, yeah.
gonna say it's a MacBook Pro I don't use anymore, so I'm just like, I should probably sell this. But that requires pulling off like 4 years of it being my main work computer data off of it, and that's a pain.
Oh, that
So
is a pain. I think you should just play games on it.
yes, maybe. Gonna say, but I got my gaming desktop, and that's where I do most of my
That's cool.
gaming. But anyway, so yeah, PUBG, it's good. Everyone, play with me, please, God. I play so much solo. I feel so alone. I just want to be like
Oh.
Awful Squad.
I just want friends on Discord and we yell and we die, but it's fun because we're together.
Yeah, otherwise the game just gets really tense. There's definitely been times where, like, Peter will come in the room while I'm playing and say hi, and I will just jump because I was not expecting someone there. Or I'll get really nervous because I hear like the sound of steps on wood or something like that. And
Yeah.
it's the iguana moving around inside her enclosure. But I think there's someone to my left or behind me. Oh no, oh no.
Mean, technically, you're not wrong, but it is not someone with a gun. It is someone
Yes.
that mostly wants bugs.
Well, she eats leaves. The
Oh,
guy that
she
wants bugs
does.
is on my right.
Oh.
Gonna say he's sleeping right now. He's a quiet guy.
Oh.
Yes, it's very good.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, he's perfect. So, yay, video games!
Yay, video games.
And now we get to talk about the thing that is probably the actual hardest, writing. Ah!
So, how's writing been?
It's been okay. So I was at the third session of the Rainforest Writers Retreat a couple weeks ago now. Maybe 3 weeks. I kind of
What
lost
is
track.
time?
Yes, what is time? And so that was really fun, but I finished the second draft of the book I've been working on while I was there, as far as like writing through to the end. And that was super cool. And
That's
then
awesome.
I kind of put off finishing it for like over a week and I felt dumb because I missed my own deadline. But I then went through and ran spell check on the whole thing, which was painful because it turns out Scrivener cannot check more than one document at a time. So
Oh.
even if you have them all in nested folders, it can't check everything in the hierarchy all at once.
Oh no.
Unless I miss something, which is possible. So I got to click each one and spell check. that took longer than I wanted it to. It didn't help that I have a bunch of characters who are named things that are not real words.
Yeah.
And just generally can't type. I put a lot of spaces, not between one word and the next word, but between one word and the first letter of the next word. So come there would become comet here, for example. And
I mean, obviously, it just wants to be a space story, so.
No, it would require even more world building. I've been fastidiously avoiding that as much as possible. But so I've been done with that, but I've also been kind of adrift in the interim, because, like, I've been wanting to write more, and I got in the habit of doing morning pages, which is a thing from, I think, The Artist's Way, but I never actually read the book. My therapist recommended it, and I'm like, sure, that seems like a real thing. And so I just write 3 pages, or in more recently, I've been writing 1 page because I switched notebooks to a huge, like, 8.5 by 11 or like 9 by 12 book that has a dot grid on it. And so, like, oh, a page and journal. A half is like 1,000 words handwritten.
Wow. That's impressive. Do you get like 1,000 words?
Sometimes. There's been times where I've typed it up and it's like, oh, that was a lot. It might be less than that. It's a lot for handwritten pages.
Yeah.
And so I do that kind of about whatever. There's a couple of things where I keep writing scenes and I'm hoping that eventually I can like staple them together into a book. There's a couple of things where I've written, I think, 2 pieces of flash fiction, essentially, in there, including one of them, which makes me angry because it's a Grapes of Wrath spinoff, or like not spinoff, but it takes inspiration from a chapter of Grapes of Wrath, and that book bugs me. So
Interesting. So is it like, tell me more about that one.
It's based off one of the intercalary chapters. It's where you have a scene where a car salesman is pitching people on these cars and selling all these cars to people that are going on Route 66 and going west. And he keeps saying how he really wishes he just had a jalopy because those sell great. And, you know, a car with like the back carved out, so it's a truck bed kind of thing. And I don't know, that scene has stuck with me forever because I think I honestly found it super annoying, but I like the but like the delivery is very well done. And so I kind of did the same thing, but for like selling people cybernetic bodies.
Cool.
With the idea that getting a new body is like getting a new car. It's an investment, but it's one you can afford.
Yeah.
And yeah, so hopefully I did a good job. I haven't typed it up yet, so no one will know.
My God, I want to read it though.
And the other thing I did was a queer take on the Scheherazade story.
Oh.
Sort of.
Whoa, you're much more ambitious than I in these stories.
Those are literally the 2 things I've written in the past 2 months that sound anything like meritable. like those sound all highfalutin, but that's a new thing for me. I'm normally just like, I wrote about wizards and lizard dudes and they fight people and kill monsters. Like, and that's really fun for me, but it's, you know, see all my friends being like, oh, I'm interrogating this, you know. I'm interrogating the meaning of femininity through, like, spaceships. And I'm just like, that's awesome.
Yep.
I wrote a D&D session. I do think I wrote a good D&D session that's entertaining, but I wrote a D&D session.
Hey, you know, D&D is also very important, though, so.
Yeah. So I think I just feel like I kind of write like Robert E. Howard wrote, hopefully with less racism, almost guaranteed with less racism. And I occasionally feel like there's not a market for that, or the market for that is really shitty old people that infest the Syphil forums and yell about the good old days. So hopefully I'll find a different audience.
I think you will. I think you would have to be a vastly different person than I think you are to only have that audience.
Nah, you know, in my free time, I go and I jack off to Heinlein. It's great.
And we have learned something today. This is our final episode of Failed Taxonomy.
We've been taken off the air by weirdly every broadcasting organization.
The internet has rebelled against us. I didn't know that was possible.
Well, we're just very special. But yeah, so besides those two things, I mostly have just been writing random things. I occasionally get this gleam in my eye that, you know, I'll become rich off an erotica sideline, blah, ha, ha. So I've been messing around with that some, but that's also the kind of thing where, like, except in the vaguest of terms, no one gets to know.
we were talking about that, what was it, a changeling whale story? I think we should still go with that series.
There's only 4 things for it on Amazon. This is our chance.
I think we need to corner this market.
That said, Humping the Humpback is already taken as a title. So...
Fuck!
I did, however, come up with the idea of Pegging the Pod, which would be a whale shifter with a... Instead of the whole male alpha trope, invert that, have the women be more alpha, and then have it be the reverse harem thing. Because I have been told that is popular.
Nice.
So, you know, I have the title That's full awesome. Of genre descriptors and no idea what I'd write for it.
I think it's just like one of those like fan fiction kind of things where you just start writing and you see what comes out.
Yeah. And I know for a fact that we have a guaranteed market for whale romance and whale erotica.
Yeah. Yep.
We know some people. We're not going to call them out on this show, but we know some people who really like whales.
But there's definitely, I could probably think of at least 6 people who would buy this book. And that's $6.
Yeah. I like that we're charging $1 for a hypothetical novel. Maybe it's a short story. We can get away with that.
I think we can get away with that, yeah.
Though it always feels weird when you go on Amazon and it's like, length of book, 19 pages. Wait, what?
Wait, oh. Yeah. That is not a very long book.
Oh, well.
It makes you feel accomplished, though, because you can be like, I read a lot of books today. Doesn't matter that they were all 20 pages.
It's fine. Everything is fine. A book is... the definition of a book is what you make it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But so, what has your writing been like lately?
Well, I have put words on a fictional, like, virtual piece of paper. Sort of. It's not been going good. I haven't written a lot lately. But I'm working on it. I'm working on a game with a friend. We're doing a visual novel together. She's got
That's so cool.
I'm really excited about it. It was just a random thing where she's like, I have this really cool engine that I want. And so if you ever have a game that you want to try, let me know. And I was like, I could probably think of something. And so I've been working on a sort of like horror game where you end up, well, I don't want to actually spoil it, but it's going to be fun. And cool. It's about monsters in daily life and trying to take care of yourself while your world seems to be falling apart.
I was going to say, and it's horror.
Yes. So that's pretty fun. I just found out that there is a residency that the Boston Public Library does where they'll give you an office to work in and they'll give you like $20,000 as like a stipend. And so I'm trying to apply for that because I think that would be really good to focus my novel on that I've been working on since 2011, I think.
Oh man, I feel so much less alone. I've been working on my current novel on and off since like, I don't know, 2012, 2013. So
Yeah, I've been working on this. And I mean, to be fair, I got a master's degree and married in that time as well. So I'm not super sad that it's not finished. I've also become, you know, a different person since 2011. But yeah, I've been working on that since I met Gabby. You know Gabby, right? Nothing. She wrote I don't want to say it because I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's fair. I think I know which Gabby you're talking about. I don't think I've met them in person.
Yeah, that's fair. She wrote Dead Boys and Viscera. Very good novels. Go read them. But yeah, I met her through Nano trying to write this book, and I have been off and on working on it ever since. I've got a pretty solid outline now. So I think if I had, you know, something to... I work really well with outside deadlines, so if I had a deadline and outside forces going, you need to at least have a finished draft by this time, I could do it. Also, it would just be really cool to have an office in the Boston Public Library.
Well, if that doesn't work out, you can always throw out a deadline on this show. And
there we go. Accountability. Then a whole
dozen people will guilt you about it. Yeah. If they remember themselves. Yes.
Maybe one person will remember and just continually email me and be like, have you finished it? Have you finished it? But
that would be charming.
Yes. Question minute. I'm very excited about question minute.
Just real quick, my anxiety is telling me I must admit that while I do morning pages almost every day, I did miss some days, and I did miss some days of other writing. Hooray! Hooray! Anxiety satisfied.
You all would have
hunted me. I just know it's true. Oh, that's right. I also have some essays that I'm trying to write, by which I mean I thought of the concept, and then I'm like, well, writing's hard. I'm not going to do that.
I'm really bad. Like, I have so many ideas for essays, but I'm bad at nonfiction. I have so many cool ideas, and then I go to write them down, and halfway through them, I just lose the whole thread and go, no one wants to read this anyway, and I delete it, and it never sees the light of day.
I'm going to say there's one I have to finish soon because it's for speculative masculinities.
Oh,
and
nice.
So I've only got like a month and a half? Half a month? I should really check that deadline. I think it's May 1st, but I could be wrong.
I wrote it down somewhere too. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Well, we certainly don't need to look it up right now.
That's true.
Okay, so question minute. Question several minutes.
All right, so these are listener questions. And if you have any listener questions, please go to failtaxonomy.com and send them to us.
Yes, there's a contact us page. It even works. We have a bunch in an email inbox that I need to give you a username and password for.
Yes, I was going to ask you off air, but we can do it on air too.
Yeah, gonna say I set the website up this morning, so
it's a very nice website. I enjoy the unicorn.
Yes. We need a logo though. We need to be hip.
Ooh.
We need to build our brand. How will we survive without a hashtag brand?
Yeah. What should our brand be? Other than awkward? Because I think Adorably Awkward is a good brand.
I mean, awkward, queer as fuck. Mm-hmm. So how do we make those two things into a logo? Is it like a unicorn having a panic attack in the back corner of a party? Like,
oh my gosh. We could combine your lizards and my cat love. Because they are both very anxiety ridden, and I feel like lizards and cats are just like queer mascots as is too.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But all right, so we have a couple of questions we got from some of our friends before we had the contact us box, and those are in the document. The first one we have is one that I had to talk my boyfriend into helping me figure out an answer for, which is from Caitlin, and it's what our favorite cocktails are. Please go first.
Okay. Well, I don't drink too many cocktails, but the one thing that I always get, and that I don't know if it has a name, but I always get a root beer with a shot of vanilla vodka in it.
That sounds good.
It tastes like a root beer float, and it's really good. And yep, I don't know if that has a name, and I don't drink too often, and I especially don't drink now that I'm on antidepressants. It makes my motor skills very poor, I found out. I had one beer, and then I knocked an entire other beer onto the ground. And so that was fun.
So for me, I mostly also drink beer. I get nervous about it because I'm also on antidepressants, so.
Yes.
Cool party, bros. But, but... like, as far as I can tell, it actually hasn't been a big deal for me personally, but I'm also always the driver, so
fair.
Like, I don't want to risk it, and I'm usually out, and anything where I'd be driving back, I should probably get less completely paranoid about it, but I don't feel that bad about being so anyway. But anyway,
I mean, as far as it goes, you're just not drinking. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I just miss beer. Beer is delicious.
Fair enough.
Plus, we have a bunch of, like, the last one of several six packs in our fridge.
Yeah.
It's just like, these need to go away. I need to remember to drink these on evenings and not feel bad about it because, you know, I'm doing the world a service by drinking this. I'm not just, you know, ruining eating healthy, right? Right?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm already chubby. Clearly, you know, I have now earned it. Cookies go there. Beer goes there. It's fine.
Well, see, here's the thing. You're going to drink it on a day that you've done the weightlifting because it evens out.
That's right. Like, all exercise is immediately mathematically equivalent to whatever you ate that day that's not good for you.
Yes. Yes. This is how I live my life. No one correct me.
Gonna say, I walked a mile, that was that entire cupcake, that was that mm-hmm. entire dozen cupcakes, it's good.
It's all good.
So, if I had to choose a favorite cocktail, out of the ones I have ever drank, I guess I would choose a gin and tonic, but it's competing okay. between that and a margarita, so, I don't think I found a gin I really like yet. I think all the ones I've had have been pretty dry.
Okay.
And it'd be nice to have some more of that berry flavor and less burning alcohol flavor.
I have no idea what gin tastes like.
I just forgot the name of the berry it's made from. It tastes like that berry I'm forgetting.
Very nice.
Yeah, I have a... It's not really a storied history, but I keep wanting to like tequila because it accomplishes... or it accompanies, like, Mexican food, and Mexican food is perfect.
Mm.
And oh, God, God's on is. Food. And, but... I just can't. I think a lot of the times it's just that the people that I've been pouring me tequilas have made very strong tequilas, and I think, or strong margaritas, rather. And yeah, I also want to give a special shout out to Scotch because I want to be one of those people that like Scotch. I ended up actually talking to a guy at a party at Rainforest who was like a Scotch hobbyist, and so Ooh. Guided me through kind of like separating out the tastes and what this should taste like, and do you taste that, and do you taste that? And he did get me there.
Okay.
I could taste all the flavors he was telling me about. It was great, except for the part where by the end of sipping that glass, I was fighting my own gag reflex.
Oh, no.
I think because, like, I could taste the peatiness way too much.
Oh.
And it's like, cool, this is bad. I've been told I would probably like bourbon, so that's okay. next on my list.
Okay. I don't really... I mean, I started with vodka, and that's sort of just where I've stayed. I like vodka, because it doesn't taste like anything. It's just a slight burning, and then that's it. And then you're drunk, I guess.
I was going to say I had a bad experience. I did have a bad experience with vodka. I had a bad experience with vodka and a bad experience with tequila.
Oh, no.
So,
all the college. Clear ones. Oh, yes, college.
Also, yeah. Don't mix your alcohols. Wine and tequila should not be drank in the same evening.
Wine and tequila?
Not at the same time. Just in the same evening.
Why did you do that?
Because I made mistakes.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I was doing shots with my roommate before we had dinner with people where there was wine.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. That just sounds like everything that would be bad for me.
It was very bad. In a shout out to my friends who like TMI stuff, it turns out that vodka soaked spaghetti sauce vomit is really easy to get out of the carpet.
Good to know. Good to know. Life lessons.
Yeah. Right. Okay. God, let's move on to another question.
Okay. Next question.
So we got a interesting set of questions from Jill. It's basically our favorite type of media X. But from a queer perspective specifically, I know we both read, and I know I'm bad at recalling short stories titles, so let's go with books.
All right.
Do you have a favorite book from a queer perspective? Like, you love its queerness?
I do, and this was actually a book I reviewed for the School Library Journal, and I felt really, really excited that I got to read it. It's by Courtney Stevens. It's called Dress Codes for Small Towns. I was looking up at my bookshelf because I couldn't remember her name, but it's such a good book. It's about this queer, I guess she's a girl, but she's sort of genderqueer. She does more masculine things. Her name's Billy, and she's torn between her two best friends, who are a guy and a girl, and she feels like she loves both of them very deeply, and she's not sure which one she would rather be with in a romantic perspective. And just in the book, it's treated as a completely normal teenage thing to go through, and the experimenting that she does, she kisses both of them at a certain point in the book, and it's not treated as a bad thing that she does this. Neither of her friends are mad at her for being torn, and she eventually starts dating the girl over the guy, and she doesn't lose either of them. And one of her friends besides them brings her to like a little queer dance, and it's just a bunch of queer kids, and it's just really cute, and it's about friendship and all the different kinds of love you can have and how it's not bad to just try and find yourself. And if you don't have specific words for yourself, it's not bad. You can just be who you are, and about community, and I love it, and it's so cute. And it was the first time I've ever read a book where I was like, wow, this person really gets how I feel about just like myself and other human beings in general. And that was really big for me, because it was like, I'm 26 and I've never really felt like I'm represented in YA. And then I read this book and it was just like, here it is. They did it. Someone did it. Someone wrote a book. That's me.
Yeah. So cool.
How about you?
So I actually had spaced on this book existing, but I did really like it when I read it because I'm, again, very bad at names, which includes titles of books I've read. I'm usually better at them, but like recalling out of all the things I've read gets tricky. Anyway.
Yep.
Freak Boy by Kristen Elizabeth Clark.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's a prose poetry book about a character discovering that they are genderqueer, and it's told from like three different perspectives, and it's one of the more kind of beautiful and powerful books I've ever read on kind of dealing with gender and dealing with feeling like your gender doesn't fit.
Yeah.
The one thing I was frustrated about is that it is written from the perspective, the main character, it's the perspective of someone who just doesn't have really any exposure to queer culture. And that's fine, but like, it also just doesn't mirror my experience, but I know it mirrors a ton of other people's experience. And I'm actually going to put that for a tie with If I Was Your Girl by author whose name I just forgot.
Meredith Russo, right?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Who's apparently friends with Kristen Elizabeth Clark, so I guess
oh, really? That's awesome.
I guess I just like that circle. If I Was Your Girl was really cool because it was a story about a young trans woman that did not focus on coming out in the same way. Like,
Yeah. She was already out in the book. That was nice.
Yeah. And it was about kind of coping with being like in fucking Georgia, but like it wasn't, it was not an angsty book.
Yeah.
And unlike a lot of books where there's kind of a, you know, drama towards the end, like it actually all turns out well, relatively well, which was really, really nice. And I liked that people were assholes and or kind in very believable ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt like a very real book and very much not, you know, written by someone who wants to tell a tragic queer story.
It's not
overcoming adversity.
I read an essay on like specifically trans girl narratives in YA and how the book Luna has sort of ruined it, where it's a lot of them are from the cis person's perspective, and at the end of the book the trans person, basically they put the trans person on a bus and the cis person gets to grow and the trans person goes away and that's the end of the book, and it's horrible. And yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And yeah, if I was your girl, definitely. I don't know if it's speaking to it directly, but I feel that it just turns that whole thing on its head where it's like, you know, it doesn't have to turn out perfect, but it can turn out well, and it can be from the perspective of this character, and it can be about her learning and growing instead of having to hold up other people.
Yeah, and I think it helps that it was an own voices novel too. Just
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more that I want to just throw out there, sort of thinking about that. Let me remember. Well, okay. So, Dreadnought. Have you read that by April Daniels?
No.
So that is about a trans girl who gets superpowers. And when she gets superpowers, she transforms into basically her ideal form of a body. But she's super strong, and the mantle she takes, the mantle is like the superpower she gets is from a super powerful dude called Dreadnought, and she gets to be the next Dreadnought. And it's a really good, it's two books, and I think the second one's called Sovereign. And it's just a really good look at how that power fantasy plays out, because it's super about this power fantasy for this trans girl. She gets to transform her body in a second, and she gets to be super powerful, and she gets almost immediately a community, but it's how she's also not accepted completely, and she's still dealing with the fact that she's a teenage girl in an abusive household. And it's really cool. It's just really fun about superheroes and power fantasies. And she's a good just character to read about. She's well-rounded, she has problems, and she gets a girlfriend in the end, and it's really cute, and they're a cute, like, superhero duo.
Yay!
Yay!
That sounds cute.
Yep.
And why don't we pull one or two from the inbox?
Yay!
We have so many. Oh, God. I'm going to go popular. For the first one Nico sent us.
Yay, Nico!
Yay! So, I'm just going to read this quoted.
Okay.
So, like, speaking of taxonomy and queerness, there seems to have been a shift in how people use the word femme, or perhaps a broadening. I hear it now used more in opposition to mask than in opposition to butch. Is femme part of how either of you self-identify, or has it ever been in the past? What are your observations and feelings on the shifting ways we used to taxonomize, that's a word, ourselves and each other?
Oh, this is a fun one.
I was going to say, Nico dropping the heavy question. First episode.
Jesus, Nico. Do you want to go first?
God, no. But,
Okay, I'll go first then, because I sort of have half an answer, and... So, I didn't know the word femme for a really long time. I sort of was a kid who grew up knowing that I was queer of some sort, but I didn't really know. I grew up in a time when looking outwardly female and saying you were bisexual just kind of meant that you were an alternative person. And so I was like, okay, I mean... It fits anyway, and I do dress kind of punky, so that's what I am. I'm just a bisexual girl, and it wasn't till much later that I realized that there were all sorts of, like, flavors of how you can present yourself and different shades. And one of the first things I came across was the hard femme that I really enjoyed, like, the style of and the look of, and it was another thing that looked like when you Google it. It's like a lot of punky people with denim jackets and shaved heads. And I was like, well, okay, I haven't always felt like a girl, but maybe it's just hard femme. Maybe that's what I am. And it didn't fit quite as well, but it was one of the first times when I was like, okay, that's closer to what I feel like feels right.
Yeah.
It's not how I identify now. I guess I'm slightly more mask now, but I don't feel a pull towards either femme or a masculine kind of thing. I think if I think about it too much, then I start limiting myself. And what I like to do is just wake up and go, okay, I want to wear this and that, and that's it. Instead of thinking, today I feel more masculine, or today I feel more feminine, because then it just gets confusing. And it's not something I, like, grew up thinking about. So I think it's just something I still have to get used to identifying with.
Yeah. I know that feel. Yeah, so for me, I've ended up in this really weird spot where, first off, I apologize in advance if I shove my foot down my own throat here. I get real nervous talking about potentially sensitive queer issues because I feel like I'm always going to get something wrong.
Yep. I'm sure I said a million terrible things too, but that's okay. We're learning.
Yeah, so like, currently mostly identify as cis, but I feel like I'm somewhere between like, I'm in this weird spot where I kind of feel like, I feel like I'm somewhere between like 10 and 20% genderqueer, which isn't enough to make it part of like, here's my labels, guys, you know, for useful interacting with me. So that's always kind of been part of it, is that I kind of, sometimes I just stay the hell out of that conversation because it's like, cool, me, a cis white man, I will be over in the corner when you guys are done.
Ian, and like, you're queer enough. It's okay.
No. My queer score isn't high enough.
You must be a level 20 queer to pass this test.
Oh no. Why did I ever dual class into Dragon Whisper or something? I don't know. There's a stuffed dragon in my line of sight. Behind the curtain. Anyway, so femme isn't a super strong part of how I identify, but I really appreciate that descriptor's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've definitely kind of wanted to femme up my presentation a little bit, mostly because mass clothing is sometimes very bullshit. And so I've kind of been wanting to broaden that horizon, although I haven't taken many strong steps toward it. That said, shout out to Kellen. Long t-shirts and leggings are the best outfit ever.
Hell yeah.
Well, I am too self-conscious to wear them all the time, mostly because my torso is just long enough that that shirt's running some risks of failing on its job. But
as we covered earlier in this podcast, you do have a poppin' booty.
True. However, the people at my co-working space may not want to see my popping booty in such detail. Doesn't help either that I'm the most amateur hour person ever at avoiding underwear lines. So it's just like, oh, wait.
Fair enough. I am too. I have no idea how that's possible.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of how I self-identify, and because of that 20% genderqueer thing, I've definitely had times where I've wrestled with, like, wait a minute, am I trans? Am I not? I don't know. And this is where I've ended up at this point, but I've definitely kind of had an oscillating amount of, like, femininity in my own self-identity at any given time. Yeah. Gender's weird, yo.
Gender's so weird. I know how you feel, though. Like, when I first started coming into, you know, the space that you and I met, I was like, maybe, I don't know, I like the idea of a non-binary gender, but I don't feel like I am enough sure of it. And it's only recently that I've been like, no, when this, you know, when people use they them pronouns with me, that feels good enough that I want to feel like that more often. And just having a space to experiment and talk about things with other people has been really nice.
Yeah.
And I still feel that where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm non-binary, but I still don't feel like I could ever claim that I'm trans. That still feels like a thing that I don't want to step on other people for, even though, you know, I don't identify with the gender that I was assigned, but I don't feel confident enough that I could step into that space.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know that feeling too. I'm gonna say obviously not the exact same feeling, but I definitely think I had a thought and then it ran away.
We've done really good. We've been doing really good. We're both extremely nervous.
Yes, in case you couldn't tell, we've now made everyone deeply aware of it. So gonna say that's it. That's right. One thing that I got out of talking to my boyfriend at one point was his conclusion that, or he came up with this terminology I really liked, which was that I am, you know, cisgendered, but I'm not attached to my gender at all. And I think that's very accurate. And I also think that's not super discussed, or that's kind of a weird space to be in, because I think there's a lot of people who spend a lot of time really figuring out what gender they identify as, and that becomes something they really want to express and be very definite about.
Right.
And so as someone who's kind of like, if I could press a button and be a girl tomorrow, I would do it. But until then, you know, so.
Yeah. Yep. No, I know that feeling exactly. So.
Yeah. Life, man.
Life, man.
Okay. Should we end there? Should I try to find a slightly less heavy question to wrap up on?
Yeah.
This will set the tone of the podcast for the rest of the time, so you gotta be careful.
I don't know. I feel like that's a really good ending note where, hey, we feel weird about gender stuff, but we're learning and growing as people.
Yay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Sometimes this podcast will get heavier than I think we were originally planning. That's all right.
It happens, I guess. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Jill, for the awesome title of our cool new podcast. Thanks for our question askers.
If you want to check out our website, it's at failtaxonomy.com. There's a contact us link on there, so you can email us questions. If for some reason that doesn't seem to be working for you, one, too bad. Two, contact me and I'll give you the email address directly. We aren't on iTunes yet, and we actually don't have any sort of subscription service set up yet. So I guess just watch the website. I'll try to get that up, though, like at least some sort of basic RSS feed kind of subscription for the podcast once we go live. But I haven't done that before, so it may take a minute.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess that's it.
All right.
Have a good 2 weeks, everybody.
Yay!
Yay!
I feel like we should have a sign off.
What do you want your sign off to be? This is your chance.
Oh God, there's so much pressure.
I'm Ian, I'm Katie, and this is a failed taxonomy.
We have failed.
Well, maybe we'll discover a sign-off.
Yes. Okay.
Maybe our sign-off will be worrying about our sign-off.
I feel like there's a couple podcasts that have already marketed have cornered the market on the failed sign-off is your sign-off.
Well, we'll beat them someday.
Yes.
Okay, that's actually it. We are going to stop recording now.
Yes. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Joke deleted. That wasn't a good joke that was coming up in my head. All right.
I saw that like forming in your brain, and then you just like shook your head.
Nope.